Michael Fagan.
I'm Steve Ball.
Welcome to The Scribble Show. How are you doing, Steve? Are you okay?
I'm great, thank you, Neil. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. It's been a great week this week. We've got lots of poets on the show today. So I suggest to everybody, you just need to kick off your shoes, sit back and relax. Because it's going to be a great show today.
That's what we're going to do, Neil.
That's right.
So yeah. Wake me up in an hour.
We might need to stay awake just for a short period of time. Sure. But it's going to be a really good show this week. So it's a little bit different this week as well, Steve. So we've got some slam poetry.
Lovely. That's my stuff, that.
Yeah, well, you mentioned that. I don't know whether you mentioned it on air or mentioned it off air, but you mentioned that it'd be great to hear some slam poetry, so we've got some of that coming up this week. But I thought what we start off with first is a piece of work that was written by a lady by the name of Natalie Goldberg, and it's read by Kara Johnstad when she did the Kai Taylor project, and it's a poet writing about poetry and what poetry means. So it's a bit of an unusual start to the program, this. I thought it'd be a really good way of kicking into the mood. Let's move with it.
Crack on.
So let's crack on with that. And then as we get into, we're going to do the poet stream, and then we're going to promote another radio show, which is a bit unusual, but we're going to do that anyway.
I hope they're doing the same for us, Neil.
Oh, they certainly are. They're a great team of people. I will talk to you about them in a minute. So let's have a listen to Kara Johnstad doing a piece by Natalie Goldberg.
I opened the book and read Steps, the last poem in the book. And as I read the poem, the whole world opened up. I felt space. My teeth were happy hanging from my gums. My knees rested in my legs, and my toes had their place. How could a poem do this? It's poetry all over again, I thought to myself. That old primal cry for care and no care. Words tossed from the throat and fallen to the page. Gerald Stern's poem talked about steps, how stairs wear in the center if they're stone, and splinter if they're wood. Then I remembered steps, the ones at the New York City Library on Fifth Avenue, and the old stone ones up at Notre Dame. Yeah, I thought, yeah. I've always seen those steps, but whoever thought to mention them? Gerald Stern did that for us, and the world was now a little more alive, and he made me a little more awake. William Carlos Williams wrote a poem about standing by the water tap in his kitchen and waiting for it to freshen. You know, city water, sometimes it comes out rusty, and you wait for it to run clean. I've done it, but I never thought about it until I read William's poem. Poetry is a dumb Buddha who thinks a donkey is as important as a diamond. Poetry is good practice for all the other writing we do because it brings us back to where we are. It asks us to settle inside ourselves and be awake.
Yeah, I thought I'd play that piece because it just does what you and I do, because when we're writing poetry, we do observation work, don't we?
Yes.
And I think that's one of the key. I know it's a strange way to start the program off because we usually start off with something quite dramatic and whatnot. But I thought the fact that it just brings you back present to what poetry is all about.
Yeah, poetry for me, Neil, it's almost, I try to write what I see.
Yeah.
And then get a written word to reflect what I've seen. So some image from the past.
Yeah.
But I must tell you this, I forgot to tell you. Yeah. I got a belated birthday present this week, which is a book on how to write great poetry.
Really?
Yes. So, yeah.
Oh, you might want to share that with me then.
No, well, not really. It's in Bulgarian. No, seriously, I've got the book. I need to read it. If it's good, I'll reference it on the programme at a later date.
Brilliant. Oh, that's really good, because that certainly helped me.
Yeah.
Right, so moving along now. I mentioned quickly when we came into the show that we were going to promote another radio programme. So there's a team of guys who run Poetry in Motion. It's run by Alan Johnson. He's one of the guys who helps us out with voiceovers on this program, and Alan's got this page called Poetry in Motion with Susan Worrell, who's been on the program a number of times, and they've decided to do this radio show, and I was very fortunate enough for them to send me the pilot show to listen to this week, and I've put a message on the pilot show saying, from everybody at Scribble, hope you have a great time,
great,
and all the rest of it. And it's a great show. The show's a different format to this. It's very much of talking to the poets, them ringing in, having a chat about what inspires them, and playing little pieces of their poems. But it's a really good listen, and they're going to broadcast on a Saturday as we broadcast on a Friday.
Okay.
So I think it'd be really good for people to get over to Poetry in Motion. if you get an opportunity, it's on Facebook. Get over to Poetry in Motion and have a listen to the programme. It's called The World Comes to You.
Is there a way of finding it if you're not on Facebook, Neil?
And not at the minute, but no. I'm sure if we talk to Alan, we'll find a way of of getting it out onto the wider internet so people can access it. But it's going to be a great show.
Having listened to
it, it's really cracking.
Great.
So it's worth people having a listen to. So get over there, have a listen to Poetry in Motion on Saturday. That is tomorrow on that side. Right, spinning right back now. I did promise you that we'd do a little bit of slam poetry.
Saturday is the day after tomorrow.
Day after tomorrow, yeah. It's Thursday night. We're broadcasting on Friday. You're listening to this on a Friday. It's Saturday.
Yeah.
It gets a little bit confusing here.
Oh, that's my mistake. Yeah, sorry, Neil. It's Thursday now as we...
Well, whatever.
What
anyway,
a fool am I.
Go over there on Saturday and have a look at the guys and have a listen to what they're putting on. Now, I promised you that we'd do a bit of slam poetry. So I'm there getting all the information in, as we always do, all these poets mailing us stuff in. And this lady called Breezy McDaniel emailed me and said, I've got this piece of work. Do you want to listen to it? And I had to listen to it. I thought, you know what? That's cracking that. It's called It's Time for a Change. And I'm going to play this for you, Steve, because I really do think you're going to like this.
Good.
I'll listen to it.
The world is spiraling out of control. It's so easy for you to sell your soul for money, for fame, for both. The government's telling lies under oath. Police are killing those they were meant to protect, doing what they want, not doing what's correct. All these lies they want us to believe. What they don't want is for us to succeed. Rather see us in jail or dead, on the streets, not stacking up our bread. This is not what God put us here for. Racism, segregation, and war. Does peace and equality even exist? Why is it so hard for us to coexist? Why do we look down on those who have less? Why not help those who are in distress? It's crazy how pieces of green paper can change people so, ruin families and turn the best of friends into foes. Life is so much more than just the things you can buy. You can't take that stuff with you when you say goodbye.
Thought you might like that bit. Now, I've watched that on YouTube, and it's a cracking bit of performance poetry.
You can hear it, can't you?
You can. It's all full of emotion. It was full of all the sort of things that you and I kind of like when we're listening to performance poetry. So I thought we'd play that. Didn't bother dropping a soundtrack under it because it'd just ruin it.
Yeah.
So it was just to leave it in the raw. So great job on that, Breezy. Thanks very much for sending it in. And if you've got any more, bring it on. Yeah,
let's we'll play broadcast. It.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to move on to the Poet Stream part of this programme in a minute. But first of all, Joy Wilson Parrish, who's a great poetess. I suppose I should use the term poetess. She's been on this programme a couple of times. She's just published a new book called Sojourn, and you can get it through Amazon. You can get it through Barnes & Noble. And we're going to put a link at the end of the programme for people to go and buy it because it really is a nice book.
Good.
It's a cracking piece. So I said to Joy that what we'd do is we'd mention it on the programme today. And the same shout-out we give every week to everybody is if you're producing a book, if it's a collaboration book or it's a book that you're producing of poetry and you want us to promote it, let us know and we'll put it in the programme.
Yep. It's spreading the gospel.
It is, just getting the word out there.
Yeah.
So there you go. So have a look at Joy Wilson's book. We'll put the link in the show notes at the end of the programme. Now, moving along to Poet Stream, the guys that we're working with on Google+, they've got a couple of really cracking pieces that they've sent through this week. And the first one was by a guy by the name of Tim Grace, a really good poet. Didn't have the technology to record it at this stage, so he's looking at that at the moment. So he asked me if I wouldn't mind actually recording it for him. So I've done that. It's called Fresh Promise. In fact, we need to get you recording some of these as well. But I've done this for Tim. See what you think to this, Steve.
Okay.
We all seek that spark of inspiration. We crave its challenge, relish its rewards, welcome its trigger, its motivation, its promise of profit. As such affords. Inspiration is an essence of sorts, an energy, a fine spirit at best. It's a shapeless elixir that contorts the grip of reason with a dose of zest. It's the will of conviction with fresh claim, it's to stale idea is the modern twist. The contemporary spin is the vim, the flame, that fires up passion and stamina's grist. Inspiration is that breath of fresh air that fuels a flicker to generate flair. There you go. First one in from Tim Grice. First time he's ever been on the programme.
I didn't think I'd heard his name before, Neil, so a good start, that's it.
Yeah, first time in for Tim Grice. Cracking pieces. Probably about four or five that we've got lined up for over the next sort of 10 or 12 programmes right out into the future. Really good poet.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you were saying the other day, I wonder what it's like when people read their own stuff. I think that's pretty key, that, don't you?
Colin Cameron's been on the show, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I was having this conversation with him yesterday because he asked me to read one of his poems, and we disagreed how I'd read it in a sense, because he'd written as though he was hearing his voice, and I put a completely different slant on it.
You do.
So it sounded good to me. Whether we've done it justice for Tim. Tim will know.
Yeah, let's see. We'll wait and see what Tim says about that.
If not, Tim will have to record his own.
Yeah, give it a go, Tim. Yeah. Let's get on the programme. Yeah. So that was the first one from Poetstream. And then we got this one called Lovers Without Borders by Audrey Marie Keel. And we picked this one. It's quite a long poem. This is 4 minutes and 32 seconds long. But it's a really good piece. It's really interesting to listen to. So have a listen to this one.
Lovers Without Borders by Audrey Marie. I've said that I'm open in relationship. Something about roots with wings. Something about no borders. Something about being free. In fact, the ink hasn't even dried on those words yet. I'm about to strike them right through. I am an explorer. Some explorers die, you know. They venture into lands that change them, change how they touch with their hands, until it's not only the landscape that's different, but also their skin. I've called myself free, living and loving in the moment, shirking the idea of home, in favor of giving those that I love space to roam. I wondered if I was robbing them of something more. Yes, stolen was our own feeling of beauty and freedom and worthiness. Turns out, acting free doesn't actually set you free. A veil goes up between you and me, to shield from these other stories, waiting for the scent of our curiosities to fade. Me, contained within a compartment of you, wherever it is that you store us, and you, contained within a compartment of me. I keep tearing down my walls to set you free. I'm learning. I have learned that I can't live here. This isn't freedom. We took a wrong turn somewhere along our way. I can't pretend anymore. I can't call all this space between us and our walls liberty or love. Freedom in love feels like jumping, eyes wide open, deep into the other, breaking down walls with four hands, not two. No fear of that fall. No concealing, all revealing until whatever it is that lays deep within is no longer buried, hidden under skin. I see you, who you are when no one is watching. And you see me, who I am, honestly and truly. rent this veil. Give me entrance to your holy of holies. Then I'll clothe myself in you, and you'll clothe yourself in me. This daily knowing seems beyond our grasp. An ocean and miles of land between us, vast. So, I'm letting go. But I hope you'll remember as we part what freedom is. No barriers. Not between you and every other, but no barriers between you and your lover.
Well, I thought that was absolutely cracking.
That was a lovely poem, Neil.
It was.
I think Audrey,
yeah,
got lost in her own poetry there.
It was just like telling a story, wasn't it? It just weaved all the way through. It was so relaxing.
Yeah. It was, and even the exclamation in the middle.
Yeah, that's
almost
right.
Almost a sigh of...
Yeah.
It was just... Exclamation.
It was all the emotion that was put into it. It was just so soothing and relaxing. It was a really lovely piece, that. So thanks very much for sending that in order.
But a long poem as well, Neil.
Long poem,
it took me about 2 months to write something that long.
That's right. If ever.
Yes.
That's the problem. I couldn't write 4 minutes worth of poetry, but I thought it was a really good piece, that.
Yeah.
And now, on the other end of the spectrum, we've got a guy called Christopher Evil, who's sent us in a poetic compilation. And this is a live slam poetry bit, which he produced in the part of the Poet Stream team. And I listened to it, and I thought of you while I was listening to it, because this is one of those things that you really like. So okay. I'll listen to this.
Looking forward to it.
I'm Chris Evol. This is Salem, Oregon. Nothing like a good rhyme to unwind. Something like a big line in the mind that finds itself on the shelf of a poetry notebook. Hope shook, knowing these crooks dope slang instead of hoping for a better day smoking. Get away cannabis puffing, and then I say to myself I want change. Like Pac, and I want to write again. Light again, the flame within, dwelling within the shell that my mind is in, or soul when I open it. Allow the pen to scribble a venomous riddle onto the day, onto the page. I play words like a fiddle with verses from the Bible, dribbling, drooling, salivated, a great signal of truth. But it's tooth and nail climbing up this poetic rhetoric ladder, madder than a hatter, inhaling demonic fumes of ether. Speak first before you decide to pull the heater, please, sir. Peace ain't gonna come if we all got a gun cocked back like a hot bath. We're stepping in, not expecting to get wet in. Let me think. Kitchen sink and all that. I call rap the fluidity of musicality mixed with the brutality of suffering meets poetics. Motherfucker, think. People don't take seriously and jokes make it weak MCs when flow shake a semen beat with a broke tape of an instrumental. Mentally venting with this pen, inventing 10 reasons to keep breathing deep, mending this poem as a slow bend like a smokestack with a flow bent. Like a curvy river of South America, swirly bitter like a sour chip kettle bag. Sick metal mad on a writ when I'm mad with the written sign crack. Dope as a flow. With the coke pile in the shape of your name, choking your throat, Johnny Law, smiling cop with ID taking your name, ivy full of adrenaline, let me send this meaning of this bleeding of the pen. I see what I get a brain, give me things, I'm seeming, screaming, mean, and I'm reaping what a so-so, like Sosa, I'm nailing, it's out of park, slow, but target will still hit my mark, no one can stop the fiery beat in my heart. Fuck a verse, fucking chuck perverse, curse words and nice woman in skirts first. Offended yet, as I send a jest, yet next onto the throat of a serial poetic terrorist. Scared of hits? See, people don't take seriously and jokes make it weak MCs when flow shake a semen beat with a broke tape of an instrumental. Mentally fending with this pen, inventing 10 reasons to keep breathing deep, mending this poem as a slow bend like a smokestack with a flow bent. Must a bust a rhyme, not a buster, more like a cluster, fuck, suck a duck, a dick, a prick for sure, sip your gin for sure, retort, but you're not possibly stopping me, a cop if he's so easily to leave a heap in the sea? Scared of hits, clairvoyant, staring kids to stare at twisted romance, poetic porn. Where pen meets mind, meets paper, meets voice, meets adrenaline, staples for a good diet choice. Try it or fail, no matter how much cannabis smoke I choke and inhale, hand me this coke on a scale, send me this hope in the mail, another fucking religious flyer? Giving me tired feelings, writing inspired while living and hiding with a cigarette lighter as I pick up a pint of gasoline with extra stick of dynamite and a candlestick lighter? As I handle a fight of a good meets evil going inside a hood deep hero's mind, I just pulled out of a notebook of an antique biblical inscriber? Diving inside a black hole and asking God to let go while eating spam and lamb legs like vegetables. Catch a cold feeling in my spine like a demon's inside, heaping a lineup of rhymes with knowing exactly where the fuck they come from. See, People don't take seriously, and jokes make it weak MCs when Flo Shake can see me beat with a broke tape of an instrumental.
Well, I couldn't keep up with that. It was so quick.
Could he start again? That was quick delivery.
It was. And I saw him perform that, and it was all off the cuff. There was no script with it. And he was on the side of the road. That's why you can hear the traffic in the background. And he just went for it. And he just did this slam poetry. I know the language in it is a bit choice, but I thought it kind of fits the style of what.
Yeah, I understand what he's trying to do, but I guess what we should just say is hopefully that's not offend anybody and understand the context in which he's delivered it like that.
Absolutely.
It's almost got a feel of a bit of rap about it.
It has, yeah.
So I
thought it was worth us pulling in. So those are the three from Poetry Stream this week. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And as Steve said, we haven't offended anybody with that piece from Chris. I'm sure you won't be. At the end of the day, you're probably hearing far worse on the streets of around where you live. But it's just in the right context, it kind of works all right.
Yeah.
Right, so moving along now to lots of new people. We've got a lady on the programme called Jennifer Sacosta. This is Let Me View Life. Now, I've recorded this for Jennifer because she didn't have the technology to do it, but it's a really nice poem, this. And this just brings us down a little bit from the slam poetry. So let's see what this one's like. Let me view life the way the heart feels. Take me inside and drink from the secrets of my liquid thoughts. Patterns of pollination sustain silence and sweetness. A bouquet of honey nectar drips from your lips with whispers of spice flavours, beset within the centre between my bosom, the taste, a pulse, bump, bump. A cherry splurge swept upon cheek, life is born in the flesh. Let me view life, the way the heart feels, a shiver inside the quiver, a pitter, patter, putters. And wild butterflies flutter. The perfect muse that courts the blood. My heart is alive. Take me inside. The cycles of your breath to marinate and merge were blinded and blushed awake. Inside the flush and fragrance of this alchemic surge, the potion bubbles over, the process sends shivers. Let me view life the way the heart feels. Moment to moment, to moment, to moment. There you go. I really like that point.
I really like that, Neil. I like the bit about, you know, viewing life as the heart feels, which I think it is all about making sure you're connected, you're feeling.
Yeah.
You're in touch with your feelings
as
you go through life.
Yeah, really nice person. She's... I suppose she's reasonably famous in the area where she comes from. She's a professional writer. She goes to give talks to schools and to groups to encourage them to do this creative writing and writing poetry. So it was good to have Jennifer on the program.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for sending that one in, Jennifer.
Well, that was the first appearance for Jennifer?
First appearance, yeah. Which is good, because this week we've got lots of first appearances on the program. So we're keeping spreading that wing. And I think it's good to, probably easy to point out at this point, we will get round to broadcasting everybody's work. It's just a matter of time before we can program
by 2027, if we're still on air.
Yeah, if they haven't taken us off by then. It would be really scary. So the next one up's new as well, Heather Alley. Keep It Short, it's called. And she does keep it short. It's about 1 minute 29, but it's a really nice piece. And I think everybody will enjoy this one as well.
Don't take up too much space. Don't talk for too long. Laugh at everything. Don't ask for too much. Or anything at all. Don't eat, cook, pray too much. Don't drink, smoke, or sex too much. Don't be too creative. It reminds others. Don't expect to be understood. Don't desire freedom-coupled romance. Don't take too long with your history. Long story short, don't be too sad, boring, scared, old, or needy. Don't paint, sing, dance, write poetry. It won't pay for the lights. don't require that you get what you give. Uncompromising. Don't have boundaries or wounds or disquieting rage. Don't have belongings, sacred objects, or pictures of time. Don't, above all, just don't cry. Manipulation of females. At 3 a.m. on a Tuesday, she let go of the don'ts. Her dog soundly slept through the event.
I thought it was quite good, though.
I like it, but what do you think it's trying to say, Neil? I've not quite got that.
No, I think it's one of those that you've got to listen to a couple of times. I kind of got drawn in by the way the words were flowing and the quietness and the intensity of it, and that's the thing that drew me into the work. It was almost a saying that, you know, don't wish for all these things because, you know, life isn't like that. Mm. You know, you've just got to kind of get on with it. So that's why I put it in the program this week.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good one.
Yeah,
to put
good
in.
Job.
Yeah. Now, we're going to move on to a guy who's been on the program before, Ken Alan Dronsfield, and it's called I Died Today.
Right.
I thought it was quite apt, that, because I've done that. I didn't enjoy it much, but I've done it.
Well, you came back, Neil.
I came back, and that's what this is all
Scribble
about.
Was created.
Scribble was born. I had an epiphany. So let's have a look to it. So I've recorded this for Ken again. Ken's going to try and record some of his stuff, but I've recorded this for him.
Okay.
Have a listen to it. I think I died today. Staring at the blank walls, a knife, a fork, a bottle and candle lay before me. The raucous sounds of blaring horns, screeching brakes and people shouting, echoing from the sweltering streets below through my shaded open window. The smells and hell of the city permeate the entire room, and the fan in the corner just quit. But I think I died today. I laid there in the old mattress, sweat running down my face. I dozed off for a bit and awoke in lovely fields of green grass with white crosses all about. I stood and watched friends of old toss roses of red into the hole of darkness landing upon a casket. I think I'm there, tucked inside, wearing my dark grey suit, white shirt and hated tie. Oh yes. I died today. I just don't know why.
it was
a bit spine-chilling. When I read it, and it reminded me of what I'd been through. I thought, oh, hey, it's a bit close to home, that. But I thought, I've got to read it, because it sent a bit of a shiver down my spine.
Yeah, and I've got to say, Neil, you know I don't like to praise you too much, but that was really well delivered.
Thank you.
It really was.
I think it's because it kind of hit a chord with me.
Yeah, I think it's a cracking poem, that,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it was really good. So thanks for sending that in, Ken. Really would like it if you could read some of your stuff as well. Because then we get the real feel for how you've written it.
Yeah.
So good piece, that. I really enjoyed it. Now, there's been a lady called Leif Edniwinger who's been emailing in, and she's producing a book as well, and we'll promote that when the book's actually out. But she wrote this small piece called Black and White. Runs for about 36, 40 seconds, that's all. It's quite small. She couldn't record it, so unfortunately we've got my dulcet tones again this week, because everybody else has been on holiday. Yeah, everybody else was on holiday. It was Easter. Everybody was away. So have a listen to this one.
Oh, how the days drag on, like an album of black and white photographs, skeins of drab grey wool stringing on and on. Trying whole weeks together, and only at night, wrapped in the soft shades of sleep, do I find you. The painter colouring the corner of my dreams with bright tints, vibrant scraps of sun that once upon a time used to twinkle in the pages of our tale. There aren't enough words in the world to tell our storm of a story.
Sure, sweet, and to the point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thought it was really good. Now, Leif's also said that she's quite happy to do an interview, so we might get back into the interview side. And if you know, if we don't get the time to do that, we could always get AJ to do it on Poetry in Motion.
She's a debutant, Neil. First time on the show.
First time on the show, yeah.
And we're doing well tonight, aren't we?
We are. We've got lots of new people on the show. In fact, the next guy is on the show is called J. Marr the Poet. And I made a reference there to Easter because it was Easter and people were away. And there was a reason for saying that because Love in Action was written and posted round about the Easter time. And I really like this. It's a really good poem. But then I get to say that every week, don't I? That I really like everything.
That's the sort of guy you are. And that is a quality, Neil.
So let's have a listen to J. Marr the Poet with Love in Action.
Such benevolence, such loveliness. Your love, so impressive. This love from above, so demonstrative. Reason for loving me is fascinating to know. To rescue me, you were willing to go on that tree of crucifix to make your love for me glow. A wretched sinner like me, to whom I have made myself an enemy, you chose to be punished sacrificially for me by dying for my sins at Calvary. This love, so unconditional, its extension is universal. In it, there is nothing partial. Your death was not just for one individual, for you have given your life to save us all. Your love is always in action, making known my sinful condition, providing forgiveness for my transgression, availing this vital provision by your active love for my redemption. In your Son, there is now made a connection between us, He is, that we may wonderfully bond. To this world is given salvation, for God's love is extended to man.
Well, that's why I did the reference to the Easter, because that's when it was written and that's when it was posted. And I know you and I are not particularly religious, but it kind of sparked something off about the sinner. Because there's two great sinners in this room, and that's you and me.
Yeah, but I'm an Australian Bush Baptist these days.
But for people out there who are religious people, I thought it was pretty good there. Yeah. I could see the emotion in that and the reason behind it.
And everybody believes in something, Neil.
They do.
And that's their right.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there was any atheists in the trenches in the First World War. So great piece of work by J. Marr the Poet. We've got more of his stuff. He talks about all different things. So I thought that's why we'd play it.
Thanks, J. Marr. Great stuff.
Yeah, really good that. Now, moving on to Tammy Manicus, who is ML Poetry. So she's Tammy Manicus on Google+. She's ML Poetry on Facebook. And she's been on the programme before, but she sent a piece in and I thought, you know what, I'd like to play that. Although we've got a lot of new people on, it's good to have some of the, the older guys or older people, use that term lightly, people who've been on the programme before.
And they may not be older.
And they're definitely not older than
me. More frequently heard.
More frequently heard. Much better way of putting it.
Mr. PC over there.
Yeah, well done, Stephen. Go to the top of the class.
I'll keep you clean, Neil, don't worry.
Have a listen to this.
The body was taken off the cross, Son of Man. People scoffed, placed in a tomb, left to rot, entrance sealed with a rock. The third day, women came with their spice to mourn for you and the loss of your life. Found the tomb empty, something's not right. Angels appeared, surrounded in light. Word spread of your sightings, all foretold in the writings. Peace be with you, your ears please lend. Preach all of this to the last day's end. Blessings to you, my dear friends. All watched as he did ascend. Finally rising, making his way home to sit on the right of the throne.
Now you see, for me, if churches did this gospel singing and this sort of poetry in it, I'm sure they get more and more people in there. It's got mass appeal then when you start doing that. So I played those two pieces because we did have Easter last weekend, big religious festival in the UK. So it was good to tag them into the programme.
Yeah,
so.
And people are taking the time to write poetry about the Easter occasion.
Yeah.
So we should listen to it, Atisa.
Yeah, absolutely. So now moving on to Ryan Woods, who's been on the programme before. So we've got a couple now who've been on the programme before. Ryan's done a programme which is called My Bread and Butter. And he's a good Preston lad, is our Ryan.
I think, did he do the zombies?
He did. And we've also got the second part of his short story today as well, the Highland thing.
Yeah.
So we need to, because he left it as a bit of a cliffhanger last
week. Ryan ever needs a voiceover, I'm the man.
Even with your fisherman's friend lozenges.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You got it. Here we go. This is My Bread and Butter.
Hello, Neil, the rest of the crew, and all you scribblers out there. This is a poem I wrote especially for the Scribble Show. It hasn't been shared in any way, shape, or form other than within the four walls of my own home. This is basically a poem I wrote to explain what writing means to me. I hope you all like this one. I call this My Bread and Butter. My writing flows in shades and hues, sometimes greens and sometimes blues. Sometimes my feminine side I must reach, and write in pastels of pink and peach. Sometimes I write silver, on rare occasions gold. I sit there and witness their magic unfold. But black is the colour I write in the most, without shade or hue, only depth like a ghost of a memory that lies there in wait. A condemned man at the gallows awaiting his fate. Sometimes I write poetry, sometimes I write from the gutter. The horror will always be my bread and butter. It feeds my necessity to play in the dark, to create monsters whose bite is much worse than their bark, to summon demons with just a few strokes of my pen, and then banish them all back to hell once again. To create life and take it on a whim like the gods, tamper with the dice and manipulate the odds. Writing is my mistress and irrepressible lover. She's my wife, my children, my father, my mother. It makes me whole, it makes me complete. It's my life, my soul, my bitter and sweet. It's the air that I breathe, it's the food I digest, it's that sinuous muscle that beats in my chest. It can take me on adventures into far off places. I can paint pictures with words of memories and faces. I've written about 13-year-old heroines who kill zombies with pencils, to be or not to be, or cinnamon's credentials. I've written of joys and I've written of sorrows. I've written of the past and the far off tomorrows. I'm a little unorthodox, I'm a little unhinged. I've written the things that will make some people cringe. So give me a pen and some paper to write, and let me take you on a journey into the depths of the night. And I'll bring you back with the sweetest of odes about fairies and unicorns and smooth-talking toads. And watch as the light gleams off my cold, sharp box cutter, because horror will always be my bread and butter.
World exclusive.
I like Ryan's stuff.
I do.
And if I remember rightly, because you interviewed him, didn't you, Neil? About 4 to 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, about four weeks ago.
I think he was saying he was doing some stuff. He was gigging out there doing some stuff.
He was.
And I think, you know, we should find out where he is. We should go and support him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was excellent.
Yeah, I did say to him, when he goes on the circuit, and I know it's tough going on the circuit, but when he gets out there, you and I will drive up there and we'll go and have a listen to what
Shake his hand. Introduce
which
would
be really good. Which brings me to another point. Essie Yankee, who's been on the programme a couple of times, she's actually appearing at the Royal Albert Hall tonight.
Is she really?
Yeah, she is.
Is that a charitable thing? Because she does this...
It's a big poetry gig at the Royal Albert Hall, and she's one of the acts on there, so
Fantastic. She's
really buzzed up by it. So it's really
Scribble
good.
1 week.
Yeah. Royal Albert Hall the next. We not only do we ruin careers, we actually give them a leg up as well.
Yeah. Carries on like this way, she'll be appearing in Flint. Okay. Sorry to the people in Flint.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if we've offended you, we're sorry.
Yes.
Now, moving on to a new boy on the block, Sean Runyon, has been producing some really good stuff, been looking to get broadcast on the programme. So I picked up one of his works and I said to Alan Johnson, AJ, do us a favour, will you voice this? And he said, yeah, no problem. He read it. He said, this is cracking this. He's voiced it, dropped a bit of a track behind it. and it sounds really good. And I hope you like this, Sean. I did mail you today to say that you were going to be on the program. So here we go.
The heart knows in silent secrets we keep. The secrets that tear at the soul, like scavengers picking at a carcass to a life that is laid to rest. It is those secrets that always speak to us in the silence of night as we lay down our heads to deep slumber. We hear them speak, those secrets ever so reminding us of the sins we bear upon others and upon our own heart. So tell me, what secrets do you keep that keeps love from blossoming into value? It is meant to be. What secrets do you keep that the heart knows in silence and the nights hear it speak?
Yeah, first time on the programme, how good was that?
Lovely. Sean, cracking start.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. So thanks for that, Sean. Keep on writing, keep on scribbling. Because the more you write and the more you post on the Scribble submission page, the more we can pick them up and start broadcasting them. So really great piece.
And well delivered again by AJ.
Oh, yeah. He's
like the Barry White of poetry.
He's the consummate professional. He has a cracking voice.
Fantastic voice.
Really good. So well done to everybody on that. Now we come to the highlight of the programme. It's the Highland Thing Part 2.
Well, I thought it was us, Neil. Are we not the highlight of the programme?
No, we're just second
fiddle. I'm taking my microphone home.
We're second fiddle.
We don't even get paid for this.
Yeah, everybody's already writing in saying you should pay Steve. Oh, I can't pay. I don't pay myself. Why would I pay you? Anyway, the Highland Thing Part 2. Left it on a cliffhanger last week. Now we're going to play the second part of it and just get a feel of this. I got everybody at a disadvantage because I've actually listened to it. So I've listened to
this. Who's this from, Neil, the man?
This is Ryan Woods.
Ryan,
the
yes.
Author.
Yeah.
So have a listen.
He'd been halfway through his night shift and had stepped out on his break for much-needed cigarettes. A recent weather front had brought with it winds that could strip the bark of a tree, so he had hunkered down by the side of one of the large industrial-sized wheeler bins that were used for waste products. The wind raced and swirled around the yard, whistling off every object it could find, and formed small whirlwinds of snow that danced around the yard like nervous prom queens. The wailing of the wind had almost been enough to disguise the wailing emanating from the forestry beyond. Almost. But Robert had developed a keen ear. He'd needed one at sea, where sometimes your survival could depend on being able to communicate with your crewmates and to give and receive instructions above the cacophony of storm force winds and raging seas. He'd looked keenly through the snow, seeing nothing at first, then a brief movement, about 150 yards to his right, caught his eye. A lone figure, much larger than a man, standing about as tall as a full-grown grizzly bear on its hind legs, but with the musculature more of a large ape, stood partially hidden by foliage in a small clearing. He watched the figure for almost 10 minutes until it ambled slowly back into the forest, disappearing like a camouflaged soldier. With his break over, he decided on his lunch break, when he had more time, he would investigate. It probably wasn't the wisest course of action he'd ever decided upon, especially in light of how Angus had described the beast. The curiosity had gotten the better of him. He struggled to keep his mind on the job for the next couple of hours and was glad when his lunch break finally came around. He headed out into the harshness of the night once more. Bracing himself against the elements, he reached a clearing where he had earlier seen a figure standing, and with a sense of trepidation, he left the light of the moon and stepped into the encompassing gloom of the forest. He winced every time a branch snapped beneath his feet and every time he walked into an unseen object. Eventually, though, his footfalls ceased to make the faint crackling sound they were making as a result of treading on freezing snow and crumbling foliage, and instead sounded and felt, for all intents and purposes, wet and sticky. If I stood in a pile of steaming shit, I'm not going to be happy, he thought to himself as he reached into his jacket pocket to retrieve his mobile phone. He planned to use the light off the screen to see just what he'd stepped in. He unlocked the phone using his designated pattern, and as the screen came to life, he pointed it to the ground to illuminate the forest floor. Fuck a duck, he uttered louder than he'd actually intended, but he couldn't help himself. The light from his phone helped to explain a wet sound that his last steps had made. Beneath and around his feet was a quagmire of blood and viscera and a spool of entrails that looked like a crude string of sausages. Lying adjacent to the gruesome pool of gore was the severed head of an adult sheep. He again scrolled through the apps on his phone, searching for the one for the camera, and upon finding it, prepared to take a photo of the graphic scene. He took a photograph of the grisly remains, feeling a little vulnerable as a flash lit up the surrounding area, but upon checking the photo, he realised it must have been shaking or shivering as he took it because the image was blurred and unrecognisable. He readied the camera to take a second photograph, and as he did so, a huge, hulking shape burst through the undergrowth, all teeth and claws and fur. The flash of the camera lit up his eyes and gave the impression that the fires of hell were burning behind them. Perhaps they were. He turned around like he had never run before in his life. The urge to scream like a little girl was almost overwhelming, but he managed to hold his tongue. Just. He reached the clearing, looked at the 150 yards of snow-laden ground between him and the plant, and wondered briefly if he could make it, before racing forth into the elements. He was sure that each step that brought him ever closer to the relative safety of the fishing plant yard would be his last, expecting his legs to be torn from underneath him at any moment. But eventually he found himself inside the concrete compound and breathed a somewhat out-of-breath sigh of relief. Only then did he turn and afford himself a look back in the direction from where he had encountered the beast, and there it stood in the clearing, almost mocking him, as if to say, "I could have had you, but the next time I will." But there was to be no next time. Although Robert Bobcat Catterall liked a good fight, he was smart enough to recognise a fight that couldn't be won. And so whilst finishing the remainder of his shift, he had decided that maybe killing me wasn't for him after all. He decided he owed it to his sister to make amends for the events that had taken place in the Kraken, which meant heading home. The following morning, he packed up his belongings, loaded them into his SUV, and hit the road. As he passed the town limits, he looked in his rearview mirror at the road sign. He pulled over to the side of the road, reached into the glove box where he knew he had a permanent marker, and stepped out of his vehicle. He walked back to the roadside, which stated, "Welcome to Kinlochmuir, Big Country, population 256. And with his permanent marker, made his own adjustments to the sign so that it read, "Welcome to Kinlochmuir, Big Foot Country, population 255.
And that was the end of the story.
I think I'm going to go to sleep tonight with the light on.
Yes, right.
I'm going to check the cupboard first, the wardrobe first, Neil.
Yeah, all sleep well. Not going to happen. Great piece, as it was nice to finish it off. So everybody, now you know the ending of the story on that one. So let's line it up a bit now. We're going to do a piece by MJ Hummingway. It's called The Walk. It was written by Raina Maria Reich. And have a listen to this one.
My eyes already touch the sunny hill. Going far ahead of the road I have begun. So we are grasped by what we cannot grasp. It has inner light, even from a distance, and changes us, even if we do not reach it, into something else, which, hardly sensing it, we already are. A gesture waves us on, answering our own wave. But what we feel is the wind in our faces.
Well, there you go. Thanks for that, MJ Hummingway or Michael R. Justice. Depends on which way you want to look at it, because it's one and the same guy. There's two different nom de plumes for working on it, but a great piece.
And a regular contributor, Neil.
Regular contributor, yeah. Which we welcome along with Cara Johnstad and quite a few others, as Ryan and Alex Maxwell and all the rest of them, especially and the Cubely team, because I thought I'd give a mention to the Cubely team today, because they want to expand that, they want to give it more profile, so we're going to cover the Cubely poems on a regular basis as well, which is really good.
Right. I guess what we could do on the Cubely side, Neil, even if people aren't members of the Cubely community, you could give them a word every week.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. What a good idea.
Yes.
We could pick a couple of words, couldn't we?
Yes.
Yeah, let's see what you come up with.
Yes, let's start this week with humbug.
Humbug. Right, there it goes. There's a challenge. Yeah. Humbug. See what you can do.
So somebody can come
one.
Up with a poem next week with the word humbug, and we'll play it.
You got it, yeah. So, humbug.
Right, I don't know where that came from.
No, but it's good. I like it.
Thank you.
Moving on to something called Timing by Marianne Finch. I think you'll like this one too.
Timing is everything. You must have heard that expression. The tale I have to tell you bears it out. Many years ago, while getting over deep depression, I stayed in a small town in the deep south. As I was walking along the high street, I spotted a beautiful antique store. Looking in the window, I saw a pretty watch I loved. I knew my budget, but it would cost a little more. Entering the store, an old man approached me. "How can I help you?" he asked, his selling skills coming to the fore. "The watch that's in the window, with the portrait painted face, would you give a discount for cash? I'll purchase it right now if that's the case. I'm sure I can accommodate you with a tiny amount off, but I must warn you, it's no ordinary timepiece. It counts your life's hours and minutes off. Instead of going forward, as a watch would normally do, without winding or a need to fix the piece, the time goes backwards very slowly. I swear it's true. It will give you a newfound sense of peace. How long it works without stopping, my dear, depends entirely on you. Once purchased, it will count the minutes of your life. When it beeps and stops, then your life will end. Imagine knowing that as long as the watch is ticking, you can't die. Your life will be so different, my friend. Buy the watch, throw up your wings and fly. I bought the watch and decided to make my life more fun. I did the things I never did before. A bungee jump, parachute jump, deep sea diving, Cresta run, my watch on my wrist forever keeping score. As years passed by, eventually, I became a woman frail. I'd had the most incredible life, I couldn't ask for more. My beautiful watch was now down to 5. My life was drawing to a close. I gathered people round me, the ones that I loved most. I kissed my daughter and my son and told them not to cry. I kissed my husband one last time. I saw a tear form in his eye. The watch was counting down so fast. 3. This was it, I'll breathe my last. 2. Smiling, I closed my eyes. 1. Beep. This can't be. I opened my eyes. Still alive, I should have been elated, but instead I felt deflated, and for the first time ever, scared.
You know, I love the concept of having a watch that counts down your time, thinking that it's real, which makes you live your life to the full, but at the end of it, it wasn't real after all. I thought it was a great concept then. I understand why she felt so deflated at the end of it. So when I read it, I thought, you know what? That's really good for this program.
Yeah.
That's kind of a really good scribble poem, that.
It is.
You think it's taking you one way, and you get right to the end, it just cuts it off and goes, you know what? It didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, cracking piece. Thanks for that, Marianne. Really good. Now, moving along to Karen King, who's been on the programme a couple of times.
She has. She has.
She produces some great work, and we support her competition and all the rest of it. And I thought, I listened to this. It was it's called Was She Just a Memory? And I thought this would be quite good for us to do as our last piece on the programme.
Okay, Neil.
So let's see what you think to this, Steve.
She was just a memory, etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. She was his soulmate. He had searched for so long. Stuck in his arranged marriage, it had all gone wrong. She was just a memory, etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. She was so emotional and so full of passion. She'd overturn the tables in her flirtatious fashion. She was just a memory etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. He said he was happy, yet she knew he was sad. Why did he turn to her? Good love gone bad. She was just a memory etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. Perhaps he was bored or had an empty place inside. Perhaps he was in love, he couldn't decide. She was just a memory, etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. He couldn't fulfill her with his poetic thoughts. They were not enough, not what she sought. She was just a memory, etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. He thought of her constantly, confused about her desire. She was so forthright, he was somewhat shyer. She was just a memory, etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. She was so different and held a place in his heart. Was she the missing puzzle? He couldn't bear to be apart. She was just a memory, etched in space and time. The reason for this lost love, I will tell you in rhyme. Every time he spoke, she experienced a thrill. But how did he want her, and did he want her still? Was she just a memory, etched in space and time? The reason for this lost love, I have told you in rhyme.
Well, you got it from the horse's mouth. She told it in rhyme.
Absolutely. For lost love. Which is what this show is all about.
It is. And that's why we played out with that one, Lost Love, played in rhyme, which I thought was really good. So I think what we'll do for the next time we do this, I think we'll both have a glass of whiskey each and maybe a Havana cigar now they've opened up Cuba. And we'll just sit here and shoot the breeze for an hour.
Can I wear a balaclava?
Well, you can wear whatever you want.
Okay.
As long as you have the eyes cut out. It's all important. You've got to see the eyes.
Yeah. I think tonight's programme, Neil, has been fantastic. We've had a real mix of different styles of poetry. We've had a lot of new people on the show, which is fantastic. It's good to hear some new stuff from some new people. So
I think it's been good. We mixed it up a bit this week just to show that there's all different styles and all different genres out there, with lots of new poets in the programme. And there'll be lots of new poets as we go forward as well, because we're getting lots of work through. So thanks to all you people who are scribbling. Keep on scribbling. Keep on posting on the Scribble pages, because we want to broadcast your work.
Yeah, and people, keep on listening, people, because without people listening, we haven't got a programme.
Yeah, absolutely. So keep on tuning in to us. And as we say every week, may your God or your gods go with you. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.